Psalm 23, we started here last week and we'll finish up, I think we'll finish. If not, eventually we'll finish. Sometimes you get stuck on a verse and you can't get past it. And we'll just let the word of God speak through us. I believe we'll finish this psalm in the word of God with God's help today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Thank you that your strength is perfect. Now use that perfect strength right now through me as I share your word. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, might that one get saved today? And use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week we learned the value of sheep in society at the time when this passage was written. Great wealth and livelihood, providing food and milk and wool, covering for tents. The medium of exchange that sheep represented for sacrifices. We also understood the nature of sheep. Gentle, submissive, gullible, defenseless, in constant need of guidance and care. Prone to wander, sheep must be led. David himself was a shepherd boy. He knew the need of sheep. But he not only was a shepherd, but to God, he was a sheep. He understood that just as those sheep that he took care of were gullible and defenseless and in constant need of guidance and care, he too, as a sheep, was gullible, defenseless, and in constant need of guidance and care. He understood that life would lure him the wrong direction and that sin would destroy him if he could. He understood that he would be met with decision after decision, and the difficulty of discerning the right one as a sheep was more than he could calculate. But he drew great joy in understanding that not only was he a sheep in need of a shepherd, he was a sheep that had a shepherd. So in Psalm 23, the shepherd boy David himself took the attention off of himself as a shepherd and put it on his need as a sheep. And he began this wonderful psalm that many have memorized, many of us learned as children, many of us have posted different places in our house and on bookmarks in our Bibles. He began this psalm with these precious words: "The Lord is my shepherd." Would you say that with me? "The Lord is my shepherd." In other words, not just anybody, not just somebody, but the one person who knows what I need, the one person who can guide me and lead, the one person who can defend me when I need defense, the one person who can care for me when I need care. David said, "I'm here to tell you, not my pastor, not my friend, not my parents, not others, but the Lord, Jehovah God, is my shepherd." How many of you are glad he's your shepherd today? Last week we learned that since the Lord is your shepherd. And might I qualify this by saying, David wasn't saying for everybody in the world. He was saying for those who knew the Lord. Amen. And so this verse, this passage, this psalm is written to those of us that know Christ as our Savior. For every man, mankind on the face of this earth, the Lord is your creator. For every person, regardless of what your color, the Lord is your sustainer. For every person on every continent, wherever you are, the Lord is the one that makes sure the sun rises and sets every single day. But for those of us who've accepted his grace, who've been washed in his blood, who've been redeemed from the slave market of sin, he's more than a creator, he's more than a life giver, he is our shepherd. With that comes complete satisfaction, I shall not want. With that comes a controlled supply, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Aren't you glad God knows where you need to lie down? Somebody say amen. He doesn't have you broke down somewhere where you can't eat. He lays you down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Aren't you glad for the directed pleasure? He refreshes us when we're famished and when we're thirsty and when we're arid and when we're dry. Aren't you glad that God knows how to lead you beside the still waters? Somebody ought to admit today, life will suck the life out of you. Life will dry you up. This world will chew you up and spit you out. And somebody will tell you, drink that bottle or try that drug or go on that fancy and it'll satisfy you. Nothing will satisfy you. But David said, this shepherd leads me beside the still waters. We saw his contributed strength. He restoreth my soul. Aren't you glad he knows how to restore? His time to correction, his thorough cleansing, his tender compassion. Amen. Aren't you glad that when you mess up, God knows how to pick you back up? Aren't you glad that when you falter and fail, God knows how to get you back in the game? Somebody say amen. There are some places in life you mess up, you'll never get back. There are some certifications you lose, you can never get them back again. There are some places you get kicked out of, you'll never be re-enrolled. Listen to me. There are some people that can never look at you without remembering your past. There are some people that can never think about you without being reminded of your biggest mistakes. But I'm here to tell you, you got to put them on mute sometimes. Somebody say amen. And you got to realize, when nobody lets you back in and nobody lets you pass your past and nobody can look at you without remembering your most glaring mistakes, there is a shepherd that picks you up and cleans you off and restores your soul. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. Now let's see if we can get past this verse and go to the next point, number four. His capable supervision. His complete satisfaction, his controlled supply, his contributed strength, his capable supervision. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by supervision? I want you to notice again, verse number three, he leadeth me. Somebody ought to thank God that he leads me. Amen. David said, when I got God as my shepherd, I'm not in charge. When I got God as my shepherd, I'm not the line leader. When I got God as my shepherd, I'm not behind the steering wheel. When I got God as my shepherd, I'm not calling the shots. Some of you are feeling a little insulted because God won't let you in control. For those of us that are honest, our biggest blunders in life have happened when we were in control. I'm glad that he leadeth me. I'm glad that he leadeth me. I'm glad that he leadeth me. His capable supervision. What leads me what? In the paths of righteousness. Here's what he's saying. God capably supervises me on a righteous path. Watch this now. Here's how you can know you are not following the shepherd that David's talking about. If you're living in unrighteousness, you're not following the Lord as your shepherd. Don't be telling people, God leading me, God lead me to sin, God lead me to cuss, God lead me to drink, and God lead me to party. No, 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 no. He may let you go, but he didn't lead you to go. Come on. I'm telling you, I may have been some places that weren't comfortable with me when he was in the front of the line. I may have been some places that were unknown to me when he was in the front of the line. I may have been to some places that were unfamiliar to me when he was in the front of the line. But I've never gotten in line behind the Lord where he led me into sin or led me into mess or led me into regret. I hear people say all the time, I wish I wasn't such a good Christian. I wish I didn't love the Lord. I wish I didn't have to go to church all the time. Let me tell you something. If you're not in doing right, you're not following the shepherd. I'm telling you, doing right costs you, and doing right is not always easy, and doing right might ostracize you from the rest of the world, but I'm glad that he leads me in a path of righteousness. A righteous path. Notice a rightful purpose for his name's sake. Huh? He doesn't lead me to do right for my glory. Come on. He don't lead me to do right for my praise. Amen. I'm standing behind the pulpit this morning preaching the word of God. I'm not preaching because my grandmama said my head was shaped like a preacher. I'm not preaching because my daddy was a preacher. I may have wanted to because my daddy was a preacher. But hey, let me tell you something. There are a lot of things you want to do that you can't do. Amen, amen. I've looked at the basketball goal a few times recently and wanted to go up there and dunk it like I used to. All my want to won't bring me to a will to. Watch this now. Because you can't pull off some things without some extra help. And I'm here to tell you, there are some that are preaching for their glory. There are some that are singing for their glory. There are some that are doing right to say, look at me. Look how good of a Christian I am. Look what I do all the time. They give money for their glory. No, 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 no. When you get in line behind the shepherd said, I lead you to do right, but not for your name, but for my name's sake. A righteous path and a rightful purpose, his capable supervision. Notice number five, his calming solace. Yea, it's almost like he's saying, he leads me in the righteous path. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Things going real good, aren't they? But then he puts in that yay. It's almost like, and even if the times I'm sailing smooth and here comes a storm, the time things are going well and here comes a problem, the times when I feel like it's all good and now all of a sudden it's all bad. Hey, let me hear, here's what he's saying. The shepherd's not just good for the good times, but he's also good in the bad times. Yea, though, even though I enter a fretful plight, watch this now, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Watch this now. The valley is a low place. The valley is a dark place. The valley is an alone place. Let me tell you something. Don't you wish as a sheep that it was always sunny? Don't you wish as a sheep that you were always on high ground? Don't you wish as a sheep that you never had problems? Don't you wish money was never funny, friends were never few, your body was never sick, and your trials were never present? Don't you wish? But here's what David said. Even though I face a fretful plight, because I have a shepherd, I can have a fearless persuasion. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. Here's what he's saying. The shepherd doesn't make sure I have no problems, but he makes sure that the problems I have will not control me, so therefore I will not fear. I want to ask you a question. Are you living in fear? Are you living in fear? Afraid to move forward? Afraid to function properly? Afraid to live like you should? Are you living in fear? That's not the shepherd. I said, that's not the shepherd. Hey, let me tell you something. Some of you may be facing difficult trials, and you may be going through a dark valley, and you may be facing something that you never faced before. For some of you, you may be entering a domain for which you have no experience. You have nothing in your file cabinet that says, when you get here, do this. But watch this now. David said, when I'm in a fretful plight, I have a fearless persuasion. And here's why. Because I have a faithful present. Notice what he said. Thou art with me. Watch this now. He's saying, I'm not afraid because God is with me. I'm not afraid because God walks beside me. I'm not afraid because God accompanies me. Please listen. Please listen. You're not going to be able to face your problems by yourself. You can't psych yourself out of fear. You can't Red Bull yourself out of fear. You can't motivationally speak yourself out of fear. You can't get all the counseling in your head to get that fear out of your life. But I'll tell you what will drive fear away when sickness comes and death comes and darkness comes and trials come. Look beside you. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. He has not left you. He's with you. We forget that. You know, we read that poem about the footprints in the sand. That's not just colorful language. That's the real deal. He will carry you. I say he will carry you. Amen. Somebody right now ought to think back to the times he has carried you. Amen. See, when I say he will, you already know he will because he already did. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the times you were so low you couldn't see the top of the ground. You were drowning so far you could barely breathe. It was so dark you couldn't even see your own hand. I'm talking about the doctors were shaking their head, scratching, trying to figure out something. I'm talking about the bank was shaking their head, talking about, we don't even know why you still have an account. I'm talking about your head was hurting so hard you couldn't fall asleep. I'm talking about everybody around you said,
We've done all you can. And then you put everybody off to the side and you start to remember, I'm not leaning on the church and the preacher and my family. I'm leaning on the shepherd.
There's a calming solace. Number six, there is comforting security. Amen. Everybody needs a security team. They're advising churches now more and more to have security team or safety protocols. It is disconcerting, and it is sad to hear about how many places crazed individuals have charged into and taken innocent lives. Come on. You know, the best security team made up of human beings cannot eliminate calamity and tragedy. Is anybody listening to me? The best equipment won't assure you that there won't be a failure. Come on now. Moving to the safest zip code doesn't mean there aren't wackos there. Come on. Come on, and by the way, let me just keep it real right now. Some of your biggest battles, most of your biggest battles, all of your biggest battles are not with human beings anyway. Ephesians chapter 6 said we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness, principalities and powers. You think your biggest beef is that girl at the job that won't talk to you, that church member that won't speak to you, that family member that keeps running you down, that Facebook friend that keeps spreading rumors? You think that's your biggest battle? The biggest battle battles you face are the unseen battles, the devil that wants to distract you and the demons out there that want to discourage you. But David said, I'm not going to be afraid of that because my shepherd has a rod and a staff. Somebody help me preach. Amen. What's he going to do with that staff and that rod? Well, with it, he provides credible protection. Somebody say amen. When the devil comes along trying to mess with me, my shepherd takes that rod and says, get back, that's my child. When somebody comes out of nowhere trying to rob me of my joy, the shepherd says, get back, that's my child. When the enemy tries to discourage me with sorrow and despair, the shepherd says, get back, that's my child. And when the demons are trying to surround me with distractions and I can't even see them, just because I can't see them doesn't mean the shepherd can't see them. He sees them all. And sometimes you're sitting there thinking you're safe when you're really the most under danger. But here's the good news: keep on riding, my child, because the shepherd got your back. Amen. Credible protection. Well, there's another use of this rod and staff. See that? It had a hook on it. And he gives us that hook, not just for credible protection, but he also gives us a hook for that connecting pull. Come on now. Somebody didn't hear what I said. See, he uses the rod and staff, first of all, to say, get back from him, he's mine. But he also uses the hook of that rod and staff to say, get back over here to me, you're mine. And it's easy, if you're not careful, to get confused between the two. All right now, somebody need to be praying for me, I'm under attack of the devil. You may not be. I'm not trying to get in your business because I got my own. But I'm here to tell you, you might be complaining to God about the devil picking on you, when the truth of the matter is, it is not the devil trying to pull you away from God. It is God trying to pull you back to him. And maybe you can't sleep because you ain't been reading your Bible. And maybe you can't have peace because you ain't been praying like you should. And maybe your money ain't in your account, not because the devil is attacking your finances, but because you'll stingy yourself won't tithe. Get back here. Hook that neck over there.
All we like sheep have gone astray. Come on. I'm glad he doesn't just beat up my enemies. But I'm glad sometime he has to reprimand me. Maybe God is yanking you back. Amen. Yanking you back to church. Pay attention. Come on now. I'm still preaching. I got to get on the road a little bit. You study on your own time. Look up here. God might be trying to yank you back into the sermon. Amen. You already down the road. Listen, I got to preach 5-6 times this week. But I'm not preaching down there till I'm done preaching here. Amen. The last thing you need is a pastor who's standing up here with his body and in mind all the way down in Florida. Amen. Jesus might come back before I pull off the parking lot. I'm leaving everything I got at 5811 Hoffman Lane, Banners Cross Road, Virginia, 22041, 22041. What's that, pastor? That's where you is right now. Don't get to your lunch yet. Stay in the moment. God trying to yank you back in. Amen. Amen. Now, Rod and our staff, they comfort me. It's comforting to know, not only, that he blocks people from taking me away from him, but it's also comforting to know that when I start drifting, he yanks me back. If you don't say amen, I will stretch this onto a 3-week series. Now, listen, I'm preaching from experience. I've been yanked before. Somebody help me preach. Maybe some of you've never experienced it from God, or maybe you have, and you didn't know what it was. So to give you a little bit further clarity on what I'm saying, sometimes God had to yank you like your parents have to yank you every once in a while when you buck out of line in the grocery store, or you're trying to go somewhere when you shouldn't go. It's most of the time your mama, because women don't have time to be thinking things through. They just kind of grab you, said, "Boy, get over here. Grab you by your collar." For my mom, it was my ear in the middle of church. "Boy, sit up and pay attention in church." Then they squeeze you and pull you and jerk you, and you get in trouble for making noise like people that are in pain are supposed to do. "Boy, be quiet." I'm trying to tell you, maybe God won't let you enjoy what you want to enjoy. Maybe things haven't been going well because you've been drifting, running your own show, living your own life, doing your... Listen, I'm saying, God said, get back over here. You're not your own. Amen. Complete satisfaction. Control supply. Contributed strength. Capable supervision. A calming solace. Comforting security. We ain't done yet. A convenient spread. I don't know about you. I look forward to Thanksgiving. Not just chronologically. I know it's February, Thanksgiving in November. I look forward chronologically. But I'm talking about culinarily. Because you know, come Thanksgiving time, gonna be a spread. Some things that don't get made all year long get made Thanksgiving. Them recipes they won't give away, won't tell nobody how they do them. And I know what y'all be doing, ladies. You be giving out recipes, but you leave about 3 things out. She thinks she got the recipe. She don't know I ain't put everything down. You know I'm telling the truth. Because you don't want nobody cooking your stuff. Thanksgiving, and complain though.
Here I go. They got me cooking this stuff again. I got to do this all the time. They got me cooking. Oh, everybody want my little favorite sweet potato pie. Everybody want my favorite such and such. Complaining. Then they say, well, you don't have to cook this. Oh, y'all don't want my cooking now? Now you don't want nobody. Oh, you think you got it good. And critique everything. Don't taste like mine. Sure missing a little too much of this. You could tell this store-bought crust. My crust is all from scratch. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I love Thanksgiving. I like to spread. The only problem is it only comes once a year. I mean, you have other spreads, but not like Thanksgiving. Well, watch this now. David said, Thanksgiving spread ain't no comparison to the spread my shepherd gives me. Come on now. It's a convenient spread. What do you mean, Pastor? Number one, notice the sovereign preparation. Thou preparest me. Grandmama didn't make this. Auntie didn't make this. Honey didn't make this. Father didn't make this. Sister so-and-so didn't make. No. This spread was prepared by Almighty God. It's not only a sovereign preparation, but it's a splendid provision. Thou preparest a table. By the way, he didn't say a cart. He didn't say a tray. Somebody help me preach. He didn't say a napkin. He didn't say a doggy bag. He said, thou preparest a table, sovereign preparation, splendid provision. But notice the seeing people in the presence of my enemies, all my haters, all my gossipers, all my liars. Somebody in the building saying, I got more liars, got more haters, got more enemies than I've ever seen before. The more I do right, the more people don't like me. They talk about me. They run me down. They just gather around me, just trying to see me fail. They're glad when I mess up. They're glad when I sin. Don't get so mad about that. While they're watching you, they'll see the caterer show up straight from heaven. And while they're looking at you, waiting for you to mess up, here comes God. Excuse me, hater. Excuse me, gossiper. I got to set up a table right here. Amen. Not when the trial's over. Not when the sickness is over. Not after the burdens are gone. Right in the middle of your trial, God sets a table.
That's why it's convenient. You don't have to go looking for food when you're burdened. The shepherd brings it to you. You think you got to wait to eat till the trial's over. And the shepherd wants you to know he will set up a restaurant in the presence of your enemy. Don't leave the job. Let them watch you eat. Don't try to get rid of haters. Let them watch you eat. Listen, this ain't one of them you the head, not the tail sermons. I'm trying to tell you that because some preachers tell people the head, they're not the head. If you're living in sin, you're not the head. Okay, so it's just because some man said you're going to be blessed tomorrow, if you're living in sin, he's incorrect. God's not going to step past your foolishness to provide his favor. So this is not a motivational, this is a Bible message. God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. And isn't that nice of God to not dismiss them? No. You've been lying on him all week long watching me. You was happy when he failed. Now what you think about when I bless him? That's why you got to stay in the fight. Some Christians have left the will of God looking for food, not realizing God was bringing the restaurant. Somebody help me preach. Well, Pastor, all the caterers I called, I didn't have enough money to pay them. Well, this caterer will feed you for free. He will foot the bill. He will finance it. And he ain't giving you a piece of orange chicken on a toothpick. He's got a spread for you. When you can't afford to buy it and you don't know how to find it and you can't afford to pay for it, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. A convenient spread. I'm moving. I got to hit the road. A covering sufficiency. Thou anointest. Somebody say amen. My head. Come on. My head. That's where my brain is. And that's where the devil first attacks. My head. I don't care how well dressed you are. You ain't getting out of church if you left your mind at home. Boy, the devil is so crafty. Amen.
You worry about getting a car wreck when you drive. You better be worried about getting in a spiritual wreck while you're sitting still. In your head. Thou anointest my head with oil. There are a lot of churches that have service, but they don't have anointing. Come on. How do you get it? Is it how loud you preach? Is it how in rhythm you dance? Is it the note of the organ? Is it the movement of the choir? No. The anointing of oil is significant of the Spirit's filling. Somebody say amen. The Spirit's filling is contingent upon our being emptied of sin. Emptied of self, cleansed of sin. It is my agreement with the Holy Ghost. It is my letting him lead me. I don't know why God won't fill me. I don't know why you won't let him. I've got to let him. Thou anointest my head with oil. Fresh help. Fresh help. God called me to preach at 9. But when I got up this morning to preach today, I didn't need the anointing from when he called me then. I need it today. I had to practice this song. I've been singing it for 20 years. Yeah, but you might not have been singing it anointed. You need fresh help. Amen. Functional healing. I anointed my head with oil. It's not only significant of the help from the Holy Ghost, but the healing. Oil, salve for healing. Come on. Don't you need to be healed sometime? Aren't you glad the shepherd doesn't beat you, kick you while you're down? He rubs oil on you to heal you, heal your wounds. Maybe you came to church wounded this morning. I'm telling you, the shepherd's got some oil. Amen. You better quit looking for preachers with oil and start looking for the shepherd. Sometimes that ain't nothing but just Crisco. The healing is not in the oil itself. The healing is in the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm not against you calling for the oil. James said, call for the elders of church to bring the oil. That's biblical. But it is not the oil that heals somebody. It's God that heals. Amen. One preacher was, I think it was Oral Roberts, was a well-renowned faith healer. He healed so good, he built a hospital. What do you need a hospital for if you're a healer? Amen. Sometimes God doesn't want to heal you here because he's going to heal you there. Paul said 3 times, I besought the Lord. Don't you let somebody tell you if you're sick and you're not healed, there's something wrong with your faith. You're living in sin and you didn't trust it enough. Listen to me. Paul didn't have a faith problem. God said, I'll not take it from you. I'll take you through it. Sometimes God wants you to stay sick down here so you can appreciate getting healed when you get there. But they give you the oil to make it. Spirit's filling. The supplied fullness. Amen. My cup running over. Now notice my head with oil. There's an abundant substance. Amen. Aren't you glad he has enough to go around? But he said my cup runneth over. It's not only an abundant substance, but it's an able share. Come on. He's not going to give you enough for you. He'll give you enough share for somebody else. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't you love getting around Christians, people whose cups are running over? Amen. They got so much joy, they're giving you some joy. They got so much peace, they're giving you some peace. And by the way, if you're struggling, don't go by around somebody else that's struggling and make them be more struggler. I'm simply saying the last thing somebody needs in the hospital is for you to walk in and say, you look so bad. Lord, have mercy. What in the world happened to you? Lord, good gracious alive. You don't look like yourself. Let me tell you something. When you're trying to go pick somebody else, you get a dose from God and share it with somebody else. I'm closing with a concluding surety. Since everything I said about my shepherd is true, David said, let me tell you that I've concluded some things that I'm sure about. Number one, favorable conviction. There's something I believe, surely. Surely. Aren't you glad when you got a shepherd, there are some things that are surely. So much in this world today is unknown, unclear, probable, possible, likely. I'm not living the Christian life on probable, possible, and likely. I'm living the Christian life on surely. You, what do you mean? I mean, I'm going to heaven. I'm sure about it.
The Holy Ghost lives inside of me. I'm sure about it. The Bible is the word of God. I'm sure about it. Heaven is my home. I'm going to live there forever. I'm sure about it. Come on now. But David said, that's not it. Let me tell you what I'm sure about. Number one, but my favorable conviction is about his precious components, goodness and mercy. Boy, can you get a better combination? Goodness and mercy. Aren't you glad that God is good? Hey, good. Good is a good thing to have. Amen. I'm glad he's good to me. A lot of people bad to you, but God's not one of them. But how about mercy? Goodness is to give you stuff, good stuff that you need. But mercy is to compensate for when you're bad. And God is good, but we're bad. See, goodness is to let us know what we get from him. But mercy is to let us know that he's got us when we mess up. Precious components. Goodness and mercy. But notice the particular conveyance. I like this. Chef, follow me. Now, he could have said, surely goodness and mercy shall be in front of me. That means I'm walking towards it. But instead he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Huh? Wait a minute. What if I go the wrong place? Well, you forgot the earlier part of the song. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Anybody listening? So if I'm being led in the paths of righteousness, goodness and mercy don't have to follow me into some sketchy places. So while I'm on the path in which he's leading me, I can be assured that while I'm doing right, goodness and mercy are following. Watch this. You don't have to call ahead down the road of righteousness to make sure you'll be taken care of. I know about 11 o'clock tonight, I'm going to start thinking about where we are and stopping at a hotel. And I've been at those cases before where a ways out, you start calling, do you have any rooms? Do you have any adjoining rooms? Do you have any two suite rooms? You see, you got to get ahead, because here's the thought. I don't want to arrive there and find out that there's nothing there to take care of. David said, I don't worry about that. I'm marching to Zion. I'm just doing right like God leads me. I don't have to worry about what's going to be there when I get there. As soon as I get there, goodness and mercy coming right in behind me. Do you have any luggage, sir, that you'd like us to check? No, but I have a couple carry-on bags. What are their names? Just wait a while after I board. They'll be coming right behind me. What are their names? They're two twins, identical, hard to tell them apart. But if you look real close, one has written on it goodness, and the other one has written on it mercy. Trials, goodness and mercy. Sickness, goodness and mercy. Difficulty, goodness and mercy. Loss in the family, goodness and mercy. Don't be looking around and say, is God going to take care of me? David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Praise his name. Precious components, goodness and mercy. Particular conveyance shall follow me. Prolonged continuance all the days of my life. Amen. I'll never run out. I'll never use them all up. Amen. They'll never expire. You ever try to use a coupon, excited about it, and then they say, did you see the little date right on there? And you're thinking, what does it matter to you? It ain't coming out your paycheck. I ask when I get up there, you got any underneath the counter? You have now, because you. They be pulling them out. Let me try it. Yes, try it. Try it about four times. Amen. I'm glad that my goodness and mercy will never expire. Come on, there's some things at a certain age in life we can't do anymore. Kobe and Deontay asked me last night, are you packing your basketball shoes? I laughed. What? For what? What do I want to play basketball for? I said, I travel to Pensacola during the summer with 1,200 teenagers all week, and I don't take my basketball shoes. Now I'm going down there for a Bible conference to preach five times with a bunch of grown people, and I'm driving. I ain't take no basketball shoes. I'm getting tired thinking about it. There was a day when I prided myself. I don't go nowhere without my basketball shoe. Might not have my wallet, my license. Oh, I got the shoes. Might not have had no shorts, might not have had no shirt, might not have had no wristband, be out there with a suit, a tie, but as long as you got your shoe. Me, Antoine, about three others, we hop in the car, ride down to any court in Northern Virginia, pull up on the court without basketball and say, who got next? Get out there and run them for five games. Get back in the car and say, we'll holler at you next time. Am I lying? I'm telling the truth. We run the court. Not no more. Keep it real. We don't run it no more. We don't run it no more. Listen, every time I tell the story, we were better. By next year, I tell the story, we used to run them 10 games. And I used to come from the free throw line and duck. And then I wake up and say, where am I? Honey, you dreaming. At a certain age, you can't do like you used to. I start driving now, my back start hurting. I start rubbing my knees. I said, you can't handle arthritis this age. I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost said, don't rebuke, get out and walk a little while. I get out and walk. My honey said, you want me to go inside? No, honey, I'll go inside. Just let me walk around. Let me walk around a little bit. I don't have to use the bathroom, but that's what I told them. Hey, man, I'm trying to stretch that knee. Glory to God. Stuff don't work like it used to. And I ain't even old yet. But I run like a crazy man. My wife said, boy, you better slow down. Well, how did he do it? Brother Bryant said this month, Pastor, I don't know how you do it. You know how I do it? Just everywhere I go, somehow, even when people don't know where I'm going, even when my family doesn't know exactly what church I'm at, even when my cell phone doesn't work, somehow, every hotel, every meeting, every revival, every church, somehow, them two jokers, goodness and mercy, find me. Amen. All the days of my life. Praise his name. Favorable conviction in my fervent commitment, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Here's what he's saying. My serving position, I will. I'm going to stay in my spot, my serving place, my sustained position. I'm going to be in my, well, here's what he's saying. Since God's going to do his job, I'm going to do mine. I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to back out on serving God. Can I give you one more thing before I let you go, before I go? The Lord. You know what the Lord is? Jehovah. I got to study in this psalm and I got tickled out of it. The Lord is my shepherd. One of the names of Jehovah, Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd. I shall not want, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jehovah Nisei, my banner, he raiseth. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Jehovah Makadosh, my Jehovah my sanctifier. That's what David said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. By the way, he restoreth my soul. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. So the next time you just start saying in a little cliche-like way, the Lord is my shepherd, don't downplay what that means. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Ra'ah, your shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Jehovah Shalom, your peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, your righteousness. Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord, your sanctifier. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that we'll quit living like sheep without a shepherd. You know what you're doing. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. How many of you would say today, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. I know I'm going to heaven. Don't feel compelled. We love you around here. I know that I'm saved. Tell the truth. Let me put your hands down. How many say, Pastor, I'm saved? I know that, but I tell you what. My, I need a shepherd. And you've reminded me from Psalm 23 what I have in Jehovah. Help me to follow his leading. If that's you all over the building, would you raise your hand? God bless you all over the building. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. One more question, you may put them down. How many would admit to me and to God today? No one should be looking around except for our workers. How many would admit today, Pastor? I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Listen, please. I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I am sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Anyone else, just slip it up long enough for me to see it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Anybody else like that? Slip it up. Yeah, I see your hand, ma'am. Anyone else? Anyone else? Be honest. Come on, come on. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Anyone else? Anyone else besides this one lady? And I believe there are others. Let's just be honest with the Lord. I mean, you can't get saved if you won't admit you're lost. You got to be honest. Let's all stand together.